Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The problem most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp? I'm an accomplished ventriloquist?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, I am a seventh degree imperial yo-yo master. Oh, do me, yo-yo master. I want you to do me because you're the yo-yo guy.
The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Happy Tuesday morning to you. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HT2. The Odyssey app. Live on YouTube. No Sprague today.
Not today.
He'll be back on Friday. Weirdly, working Monday and Friday this week. Questioning his sanity. We'll see how it all turns out.
Actually, Friday's a good day to just pop in.
One day.
Yeah.
Then you get back on the weekend.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he'll have pent-up things. We'll have some tournament. We'll see what else
happens on Thursday.
And you just want to, you know.
I can't wait for the hot takes of Major League Baseball opening day on
clear
Friday.
Clear the baffles.
I'm going to do an hour on opening day takeaways.
Oh, we're going to
have. Who's winning the pennant? Cy Young Awards, handing them all out.
It's the over-under on Dodger wins.
172.
I don't know.
Lots to get to. Rick Riz will join us coming up bottom of the hour.
Yes.
It is a Mail Sack Tuesday, so you get your questions in. 503-864-6326. That is The Fan. Text line. Let's dive in, though, shall we, Jason Swigard?
Yeah, I saw that there was this article. I haven't read it.
Okay.
I lived it.
You did live it. Now
this Blazer team that was celebrated over the weekend, the 90 and 92
this is your team
that went to the finals, this is the team I grew up with.
This is your team. So they celebrated. For those of you who didn't know, the Blazers had a celebration on Friday night. If you were, you know, wrapped up in the tournament or not watching or whatever, they celebrated the 90 and 92 NBA Finals
teams.
The teams that went and lost to Detroit and Chicago. Did you catch any of this? Were you interested in this?
We were out at Alene Friday and watching the tournament and all of those sorts
of things. So kind of flew under your radar a little bit.
I knew what was going on, but... Yeah.
So they celebrate these teams. I had flipped over, I think, at halftime because Oregon was up on Liberty by 300 points. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, whatever. They're not going to lose this game. I'll flip back over when the second half starts. I think if I remember correctly, the halves coincided okay. But I remember flipping over, and I'm watching this celebration of these teams, which, just a reminder of how good the gear was back then. Can we bring back the white keys? What are we doing? We had 1 year of the white keys, and then they got rid of it again.
The black blazer, like, satin starter jackets.
Talk about marketing wins here, okay? We're just cooking up money-making ideas for everybody this morning. White keys, bring back the old starter jackets. Come on. So they're doing this big celebration at halftime. Fun walk down memory lane. And for me, like, this was a little bit before, I was too young. I don't remember these teams. My first memories as a Blazer was at the end of like Clyde getting traded. Yeah.
So
that was
kind
of when my fandom began.
So the team started coming together while I was in high school, and then this was early college.
Early college. Going to the finals. Rip City Fever.
I would rub shoulders with this group because in high school, before they built the practice facility, the team practiced at the Jewish Community Center off Beaverton Hillsdale Highway during the week. They couldn't practice there on the weekends because they were having services and other church things.
Right.
Most of them lived in Lake Oswego, so they would practice at Lake Ridge High School after we had Saturday morning shoot-around.
You just sit around and watch them practice, and they let you hang around
during
practice? Yeah, that's so cool. So they're celebrating this team on Friday. I'm watching the celebration, and they're kind of panning through all the players that were there, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, kind of identifying everybody. Obviously, some have passed away since. Kersey, Duckworth, Cliff, Wayne Cooper. Been a handful of guys that have passed away. Too many of them have passed. And my first thought as they're showing the players was, wait a minute. Where's Clyde?
Where's the Glide?
He was kind of the face of the team. He was the best player. He's 8-time All-Star in Portland. The leading force in getting them to 2 NBA Finals. Had a lot of help. Great supporting cast. But yeah,
part of the dream team.
Clyde the Glide. Pretty big deal. Why is he not there? Well, our good friend Kerry Ager has dug it up, and this is where the story takes a little bit of a turn. So Clyde Drexler, the reason he wasn't there, he said, is two different reasons. Now, we'll see if you believe one of them.
One's probably had to do with scheduling.
So one of them is, and this is great news, but also bad news, his wife is recovering from breast cancer. Recovery. He said, amazingly, she's cancer-free. Her recovery is going well. So wonderful news there for Clyde and his family. He then followed that up by saying he was never even notified of an official date. Which, I don't know if I believe that, but that's what Clyde Drexler is claiming, that he was never notified of an official date. And you can find the story, kerryagers.com. He tweeted it out as well.
Well, I would say if he's been supporting his wife going through cancer treatments,
maybe it got lost in the mail.
Where he's not paying attention to every single piece of correspondence that comes in and might be having somebody handle it for him. And
yeah. So he said, Terry called me a couple of months ago, told me they were thinking about doing this reunion event. I told him about Tanya's situation, that his wife, but said, as it gets closer, let me know. Clyde said, told Kerry that he didn't know the date until Kerry called him last Tuesday to be like, hey, are you going to be here? And he was like, wait, what? It's this weekend. Yeah. So it just somehow somebody dropped the ball. He's saying they dropped the ball. The Blazers are saying, no, we sent them an invite, official invite. So anyways, lost in translation there, right? He then adds, they dropped the ball. This is Clyde's quote, but they have dropped many balls. And it takes a left turn from here, buddy.
Yeah.
I want the Blazers organization to know as I read through this, these are not my quotes. This is the quote from Clyde Drexler.
This is from Clyde Drexler.
And Kerry Ager's article at kerryagers.com.
Some people hold grudges.
He continued and said, quote, they don't foster any kind of relationship with ex-players. They get an F in that department. He said that he believes Jerome Kersey, Buck Williams, and Kevin Duckworth should all have their numbers retired and hanging in the rafters at the Moda Center. Debatable. We'll see. Buck, while he was here, said he believes that there should be a statue of Clyde erected out front of the stadium. Interesting that there isn't one. And then he basically took this into a ripping of Burt Cold for the next however many minutes that they had a conversation for.
Wow.
He basically contended that Burt Cold casts a pall over the organization, who is, we all know Burt Cold's been around since 88 when Paul Allen bought the team. His college roommate that gets to run an NBA franchise for living with Paul Allen led to the firing of Rick Adelman in 1994. That led to Drexler asking for the trade. He told Kerry Ager's, quote, whatever Burt said, Paul listened to, and Burt was in over his head. After Paul's death in 2018, obviously Burt Cold has continued to run things. He's considered the vice chair of, you know, the Vulcan company. And here's what Clyde said about it now. He said, quote, as I understand, Burt has had carte blanche to run the franchise from behind the scenes. Look at what he has accomplished. Very little. They have not been good at putting together a competitive team year after year. I look forward to the day when we get some new management and get Burt Cold out of there so they can bring some of the past and merge that with the presence. That's what the franchise should be about. He continues to have the word we in referring to the Blazers. He said, I've had conversations with Joe Cronin. He seems like a nice guy, but he can only do so much. Until the franchise is sold and they get rid of Burt Cold, they will struggle.
There you go.
Letting it fly. Yeah. Clyde Drexler letting it fly, man. It was interesting because he's had a very tricky relationship, I think, with this city since he left.
He has.
And it's been, you know, that's not an easy thing to handle, right? He was from Houston. Like, this, we talked about this with Cam Ward going into the NFL is who's your school going to be? Going into the Hall of Fame, who's your team going to be? Like, it's just, these are difficult things. He won a title in Houston. He's from Houston, went to Houston. Yeah. Like, but he played 11 and a half years. People probably most remember him when you think of his NBA career as a Blazer. So he's moved on, but it has been a little bit of an icy relationship. He has not been back a ton.
I think this was interesting
to get some of the insight of why.
I think Clyde would very much like to celebrate all of his time in Portland with the fans and all of those things, but he's putting the onus on the Blazers organization to extend the olive branch and have some contrition, and according to him, they haven't.
According to him, they won't. Now, this is their side. The Blazers have said, we extended the invitation. He was obviously welcome back. Now, he added that he thinks that they've done a better job, this new regime of Joe Dwayne Hankins, the president of business operations, I think is what his title is, and Chauncey Billups. He said that they have done those three together have done a much better job of reaching out to former players, and they've done a lot of these, you know, 1977, remembering that team, the Bill Walton thing, which was a layup for them, but they crushed it. 90-92 teams, like, they've done a lot more of these recently, and he thinks that those three are a big part of why they have done that, but he is not backing down on his comments about ownership and who's calling the shots behind the scenes. Yeah. And he added, you know, with the fan base and the relationship there, he said, quote, "I'm sorry I won't be able to be there to show my appreciation for Blazer fans. In my mind, they were and still are the best fans in the league. They have always shown me love and respect. They supported our team through thick and thin. They showed up every game, and we didn't want to disappoint them. They were phenomenal." And so he's got very complimentary things to say about the fans.
Yep.
Terry Porter said, "Clyde has not been back here in a long time. Everybody has tried to get him to come, but he has some feelings about people in the organization." And he said that the Blazers do deserve some blame. It, you know, relationships have been hurt. Guys didn't feel like they were valued for what they did for the organization. I'm sure every organization has its pitfalls, but we did have them. So Porter, who is now in this tricky situation of working for the team, but friends with Clyde Drexler and having to kind of navigate this middle ground, which isn't an easy thing to do. I found this interesting because I was watching on Friday, and it was, you know, it's a great memory for the city. It's the last, well, not the last time because they came damn close in 2000, but the last NBA Finals appearance, right? And they had chances to win each of those series and came up just short. And to remember those teams and not have the face of the franchise there, and according to Drexler, a big part of it is because of the operating behind the scenes, that it's unfortunate because at some point, I think it would be nice for everybody to let bygones be bygones and let's mend these fences and bring a guy who was one of the most recognizable players, if not the most recognizable player in the history of your franchise, to bring him back into the fold and have him be, you know, to have his day in the sun, if you will, in Rip City.
I think it will eventually happen, but yes, it's not going to happen until there's...
Doesn't sound like it's going to happen until Burkhold's gone, according to Clyde Drexler.
New ownership, flat out, whole entire new ownership in there.
I think he is still, he's still holding the grudges of the firing of Adelman, the way it all ended in Portland, not having another chance to win a title. And he's talked about that in years past of wishing that they were given more, you know,
a little bit more.
He wanted more time. Yeah. He wanted to make another run at it.
And the worst part of it was,
and they fired Adelman and said,
yeah,
nope.
Probably their best team was 91 and they didn't get past the Lakers in
loss of the Lakers.
Seven.
That was the Cliff Robinson snafu game, right?
Yeah.
Where he stepped out of bounds or turned it over or whatever it was. So I thought this was interesting. They honored the team on Friday night, 1992. Great memories for Blazer fans, but unfortunately the face of those teams was not here. I want to continue on this a little bit next. Also, the math got a little bit more difficult after last night. We'll dive into that next on The Fan.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, some thoughts coming in at the fan text line. By the way, Millsack questions welcome as well. 503-864-6326. We'll get to those coming up at 8:15. Rick Riz right around the corner. We'll talk some Mariner baseball with the broadcasting legend who was hit in the head by a foul ball recently. And we wanted to check in on old Rizzer and see how he was doing. One of our listeners said, celebrating that early 90s team without Cliff, Jerome, Kevin, and Clyde feels odd. There's definitely that to it. Obviously, they didn't really have a choice on some of those guys because they're unfortunately no longer with us. But Clyde not being there did feel very, very odd. The fact that the face of the franchise was not a part of that celebration. Another one said Clyde is 100% right. And I think it struck a nerve with me. People know how I feel about the direction of the organization and my thoughts. And we'll get to the standings and what happened last night in the association. It was not a good night for those of you who were pushing for the 10 seed and the play-in in the Western Conference. But I think it just highlights the biggest frustration overall that I have, and that is that we ultimately don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And that is a big issue for me. I'm not asking or demanding for weekly interviews with the owner and the vice chair and whoever's called. Like, I know that that's unrealistic.
No.
Paul Allen would at least give us once a year.
It'd be usually once at the start of the season and once towards the end,
towards
maybe
the
going
end
into the playoffs. And if you were at, I've been there for the scrum at the practice facility.
Yeah, here you go.
They're
Paul's
like, Paul Allen's here today and he'll take questions.
Yes, and you'd get answers.
And he would face the media two or three times a year.
Yes, and it didn't mean you had to agree with everything that he said. It didn't mean that you had to approve.
But he made
of
himself available, and if there was things and you were curious, and he...
Hey, why'd you do this? Or hey, what was the reasoning
behind
this?
And then the rest of us can go and take him and parse him and believe him, not believe him, try to read between the tea leaves or whatever, but he did go on the record at certain times about certain things, and that's all you can ask of ownership. Don't be cheap. Don't buy a franchise if you can't afford
to
run it.
Spend the money to win. Yes.
And let us know at least where you're coming from at some point.
And what you're thinking. And that's where Paul Allen passed away in 2018. That was nearly a decade ago.
I don't
now,
think
man.
She's ever gone on the record with
not
anything.
A single time. Not even with a written column.
Anything.
There's not even like nobody's gotten a sit down quote. Yeah. Can I just transcribe this into an interview if you don't feel
read
comfortable talking?
Read a prepared statement in front of a podium.
None of
at some point.
So I just it hit the head on why there's just an overall frustration of who's calling the shots. What's the ultimate direction? Is there a plan to sell at some point? Are you holding on to it long term? Like, this is such a great, prideful basketball city, and it feels like because of the situation, so many of us are kind of left in the lurch
and
of just
the only
not
thing we got
understanding the big
for
picture.
Now.
And for in terms of the big sports, this is what we got. We got one, and hopefully we get a baseball team to add to the mix. But that's, you know, we'll see how that all works out. It just it struck a nerve for me yesterday reading that and to hear a former player say, like, no, man, I'm not going back and being a part of that until there's a new ownership group or there's new people in charge who are calling the shots.
Do something that's semi-scripted with Brooke Olsendam.
It's very, very
do
simple.
Do something on the record.
I mean, they used to do that with Neil O'Shea at the end. He never wanted to do press conferences, but they'd sit him down with one of their reporters and you at least get answers
Whitsitt
and questions.
Did those.
Yeah,
I remember back in the day, they were uncomfortable, but at least there was something on the record.
Yeah, I think we all know that Burkhold's calling the shots, and the fact that nobody's given an interview in nearly a decade for running the team of what the insight is on decisions that were made, and you throw the GM, you throw the coach out there, it's frustrating. And so I sympathize with what Clyde is going through. I know that that has been somewhat of an icy relationship with fans as well at times over the years because of the trade demand, and that stuff can not age well in the minds of some. But he was clearly not happy. Kerry Yeager's great reporting on that. You can go find the whole story and read the entire thing at kerryyeager.com. But interesting nonetheless, and we'll see if anything changes in the short term. I highly doubt it, but you never know. We will get to the landscape in the Western Conference playoff picture coming up. It's going to do that here. We'll get to that coming up in the final hour of the show. Mail sack questions, welcome, 503-864-6326. Let's talk a little baseball, though, man. Opening day is on Thursday. Full disclosure, we taped this yesterday, so you're going to hear Brandon Sprague's voice on this. You'll be like, hey, why did Sprague just show up to do one interview? He's going to be on it. We talked to Rick Riz, longtime voice of the Mariners. How's he doing after getting hit in the head by a foul ball? Also, stick around for the end because there's a really funny moment at the end of this interview. So Rick Riz, the longtime voice of the Mariners, is next.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Take a break with Pelican's Beak Breaker, the Northwest's favorite double IPA. Pelican Brewing Company. Cheers, fellow fanatics.
All right, Danny Ticker Time here on a Tuesday, brought to you by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. They're ready for tip-off. Today's Daily Ticker brought to you by the independent innovative brewers of the Oregon coast. Joining us now is good friend of the show, one of the most legendary voices in the history of the sport, Rick Riz, longtime voice of the Seattle Mariners. Opening day is right around the corner this week. Rick, we got a lot of Mariner questions we want to ask you. We need to start, though, with... How are you? You went viral the last couple of weeks for an incident that happened in spring training. Are you okay? How's your head? We need an update on you.
Well, Andy and Brandon, yeah, I'm doing fine. I got conked in the back of my head with a foul ball about 10 days ago. We were in Maryville playing the Brewers, and I'm doing the play-by-play, and Reese Hoskins hits a foul ball back toward the booth. I didn't think it was going to come in, but, man, it came in hot, and all of a sudden it's in front of my face, and I was able to luckily – turn my head and get hit in the back of the head instead of my face and knocked me down to the ground. I was tangled up with my headphones. I told Gary Hill, keep doing it play by play, you know. But I wasn't knocked out. I didn't see stars or I wasn't nauseated. I've been hit in the head in high school and college, you know, playing ball. And that's when I was nauseated and saw stars. I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to be okay. EMTs came up, checked me out from the ballpark. Our team physician was there and he was great, Dr. Pelto. And he tested me for a concussion. He said, Rick, I think you're okay, but you should go home. I goes, no, I think I'm going to stay. And so I finished the game. I had a big old knot on the back of my head. And it went down. The headache went away, and I was fine. I think good Lord took care of me. You know, I was, you know, down and out for a few minutes, but I came back and finished the game. So I'm okay, guys. Thank you so much.
Well, absolutely, because you're a legend. We want to make sure you're okay. And we know you came back and called it. The reason we also ask is because – we were trying to put ourselves in a position where if that happens to us during an event and we end up being okay, even though in the moment it sounds horrendous, do we go back and listen and laugh at ourselves or the moment of like, I'm glad I'm okay? Because all-time audio-wise, Rick, that sound effect that you make of the, oh, it is like, it's iconic radio audio. So I'm curious, are you one that goes back and you can chuckle at it? Or are you like, nah, I want to move on. I don't want to relive that moment.
No, I can chuckle at it right now. I haven't heard the audio at all. I haven't listened to it. I just was dazed and trying to figure out what I was going through at the moment, you know. And I really don't want to hear it again, but people have told me about it, you know. They were worried. And, man, I thought you were in bad shape. I go, for a few seconds, I was.
Yeah.
You know? But my dad always told me, if you can walk, you can work. And I got up. I started walking around and I went back to work, I'm okay. I appreciate all the fans and their concern, so I want to thank everybody for sending in their best wishes, but I was okay.
Love to hear that. Love to hear that the knot's gone down, the headache has gone away, and Rick Riz is our guest. Longtime voice of the Mariners, one of the most legendary broadcasters in baseball history as they get their season underway this week. How do we assess Seattle spring? I know it's been an interesting offseason, fans wanting more offense, you're so close to the playoffs. Here we are with one of the best staffs in baseball on the brink of starting the season. How do you feel that the spring has gone?
Man, I'm very, very happy with the way this ball club has worked out this spring, because the concern was the offense, you know. Can Jorge Polanco move from second base to third base? Is he going to be healthy? Manny checked both those boxes. He had a great spring. Second base was wide open. Dylan Moore, Ryan Bliss. Ryan Bliss had a great spring. Looks like he's going to be there, and Dylan Moore is going to do his great thing as being one of the best utility guys in the game and play a lot, too, you know, at second base. Roddy Tellez, I think, is going to make the ball club. I don't have the final roster yet, but the offense really came around. I think Julio is just going to have a massive year this year. I think he's going to be an MVP real soon. And the thing about the offense is that they turned it around with when Danny and Edgar took over with 34 games left in the season, guys, they got things turned around. Edgar simplified things. They were striking out way too much, you know, not putting the ball in play, and Edgar simplified things. He told these guys to do what basically he did his entire career was, you know, hit the ball up the middle. That doesn't mean, you know, or think up the middle. Doesn't mean you're going to hit the ball up the middle. But if you think, you know, up the middle, if you're a little early, you're going to pull the ball. If you're a little bit late, you're going to put the ball in play over to right field. And that's what these guys are doing. They're cut way down on the strikeouts. They struck out more than any team in baseball last year. In the last 34 games, this is how drastic the change was. They were 21-13, and they were hitting 214 as a team. The The last 34 games, they had 264. They were averaging 3.9 runs a game. And the last 34 games, they averaged 5.1 runs a game, which was fourth in Major League Baseball, whereas before that, they were 27th in Major League Baseball. Edgar just kept it simple. Don't strike out. Cut down on your swing with two strikes. Early in the count, yeah, let it eat. You know, hit the ball hard, but we're going to see a much different offense this year. Plus, on top of that, you're going to have Randy Arozarena all year long in left field. You're going to have Victor Robles all year long in right field, who turned out to be one of the most exciting players in the game of baseball in the second half of the season. Cal Raleigh doing his thing. He had a super year. Luke Rayleigh's going to have a big year. So this ball club, I think, is a whole lot different. But we started to see that the last 34 games of last season.
Well, I'm curious, Rick, too. You mentioned Julio and how excited you are to see what he's going to be. I'm fascinated to watch his career continue to grow and what this season will be, because it felt like the year prior they had taken that step. And he kind of came in with this, you know, elevated Griffey-like buzz of this is the next face of the franchise. Yeah. And it got elevated to a pretty high level, and he didn't get off to such a great start. So I'm kind of curious what you think he learned going through the growing pains of last year and how he improved as the year went on and what he brings into this season, having gone into last year with such high expectations.
Yeah, guys, I think Julio improved as much as anybody, or maybe even more than anybody last year. Early in the season, we saw him taking some wild swings and trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark every time. If he just makes solid contact, if he catches the ball out in front of the plate, it's going to go out. He hit an opposite field grand slam to right center field last night, but we saw some wild waves, striking out way too much, and Edgar got him to just keep his weight on his back foot so he wasn't falling across home plate, swing down and through the ball, and we saw a drastic change. Julio hit 304 the last month of the season. He had 7 of his 22 home runs in September. He had 22 runs batting in September by cutting down his swing, by making contact, swinging at good pitches, making great swing decisions. So Julio, I think, was one of the biggest improvements when Edgar took over as the hitting coach last year. And I just think this, you know, the ceiling is so high for this kid right now. He's a rookie of the year, you know, back in 2022. And I just think he's going to win an MVP award real soon and multiple MVPs after that. But He kept his, and Edgar told me the other thing he did with him was he kept his hands back. You keep your hands back, you're quick enough to get to the ball and hit the ball to all fields, and that's what he does. But his approach now is to right center field, and it's a great approach. We saw that yesterday, and we saw it really all spring long.
Yeah, we're talking with Rick Riz, legendary Mariner broadcaster for a long time, as the Mariners get ready to start their season. Opening day is right around the corner. One guy who knew how to hit the ball when he was in Seattle, one of the greatest hitters we've ever seen, is Ichiro. And he's obviously been in the news a lot. And, you know, these kind of events, I think, for fans, you always get excited about it because it's a part appreciating the current team and getting a ticket and going and watching a good game. And then also getting to honor and appreciate an all-time legend. They got a big weekend. I think it's in early August where he's getting his number retired. And fans are going to take home, you know, replica plaques. Yeah. How excited is Rick Riz for Ichiro night and Ichiro weekend?
Oh, I'm so excited for him. Opening day, opening night, in a couple of nights, he's going to throw out the ceremonial first pitch.
He's now, will he be in full uniform for the opening pitch? Will he be in full uniform, Ichiro?
Here's what I want Ichiro to do on opening night. Okay. I want him to be in uniform out in right field. I want Terrence Long to come back and try to go from first to third. I want David Bell to come back to play third, and I want Ichiro to throw the first pitch to David Bell, throw out Terrence Long at third base.
Yes.
And that's the first pitch I picture in my mind.
Now we're talking.
You know, because that's when Ichiro got on the map, and you know, a couple games into the season, back in 2001 when he threw out Terrence Long. Nobody was more surprised than Terrence Long. But, August the 9th, they're going to retire his number 51, so that's going to go up there with number 11. Edgar Martinez's number 24, Junior's number, and, of course, Jackie Robinson's number 42, well-deserved. He should have been a unanimous choice. I don't understand why one guy didn't vote for him for the Hall of Fame. So I'm really, really happy for Ichiro. It's going to be a huge weekend for Ichiro in August, but the big weekend is when he goes into the Hall of Fame. I can't wait to hear his speech.
Yeah.
When he went into the Mariners Hall of Fame last year, he gave an incredible speech, all in English, and was absolutely unbelievable. So I told him when I went up back up to the podium after he sat down, I told him, I said, Ichiro, save that speech because you're going to need it next year. And this is next year, and he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, and well-deserved.
Rick, Ichiro famously would play pranks on people, or he'd make it known that like he really respects or likes you. Did you have a moment with Ichiro in your career where you're kind of feeling out each other? He doesn't really know you as well as maybe you're hoping to know him. Was there a moment for you or a story that you can remember getting to know Ichiro where you're like, oh, okay, we're good. We're one and one together.
Yeah, you know, he opened up a few times and said some really funny things that I can't repeat on the radio because he's just a really funny guy. He really is. And so, you know, I appreciated that trust that he could say whatever he wanted to say to make me laugh in that situation. And then, you know, the other day I was talking about in an interview about Ichiro and his great career, what made him so successful. But what I really said was his wife, Yumiko, you know, makes him these rice balls every day. And I said, that's the reason for Ichiro's success. And she heard the interview. And a couple days later, Ichiro came over. And I don't know if it was Brad Lepton or Alan, his interpreter, came out. And she made me two rice balls. And they were absolutely delicious. So I said, I hope these rice balls do for me what they've done for, you know, Ichiro. But he is a funny guy. He gave this speech before an All-Star game that you can't repeat, that everybody cracked up, you know. So when he wants to be funny, he can really be funny and entertain. But he entertained people when he walked up to home plate, when he walked out to right field. He was a consummate professional, the way he prepares better than anybody I've ever seen. Loosened up. He's still working out every day here at spring training.
Wow.
Loosens up. He takes BP, he goes out there and works with the outfielders, and he's absolutely amazing. So, yeah, it's going to be all Ichiro all season long, and what a well-deserved honor for one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah. Rick, do you remember the first time watching him at bat? And I know you knew of his name because of the way they talked about him coming over, but yeah. Watching him at bat and then watching him go to the outfield, I remember watching him in that 2001 season. I went up to a game. And just looking at him during the inning, and he's just like constantly doing yoga. Do you remember having thoughts of what kind of, is this player going to succeed in the major leagues, the way his kind of batting stance and routine would go, the way he kind of put the bat on the ball to outrun it, and then like watching him in the outfield, what your thoughts were seeing Ichiro for the first time?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the one of the first at-bats where I was just absolutely amazed and blown away was when he made an out. We're playing the Yankees early in the season, one of his first few games in the major leagues with us, and he hit a routine ground ball to Derek Jeter at short. Jeter's a Hall of Famer. He fielded the ball, threw it to first base, and he just barely got Ichiro at first base. And I remember looking at Derek Jeter, and I could read his lips. He went, wow. You know, I went, holy, this is a routine ground ball to short, and Ichiro almost beat it out. And he had a million of those infield base hits. That's why he hit like 330, you know, for his career or whatever it was. But he put you on notice that if he hit you a ground ball, you could not make a mistake. If you bobbled the ball, he was safe over at first base. And then when he wanted to, he could hit the ball about 400 feet easily, 420, and hit the ball out of the ballpark. He could hit 30 home runs if he wanted to, but a year. But his game was to put the ball in play, get on first, steal second, score runs. And that's what he did, as well as anybody in the history of the game of baseball. But it was that at bat that stood out for me. And then he hit a home run off of Mario and Rivera, you know, throwing, you know, 98 miles an hour too. That was absolutely amazing. So he was just amazing every time he took the field.
One of the all-time greats. It'll be fun to see him get the recognition and the induction this summer, both into the Hall of Fame and, of course, getting his number retired by the Mariners. Last one for you, Rick, because you got more important things to do than talk to us, and we got, unfortunately...
No, I got all day.
We got all day. Just keep going, man. Just make this a three-hour podcast. I did want to ask you, you've worked so close with Dave Sims over the years, where I imagine you're happy for him getting the job in New York, but how weird is it not having Dave Sims around this spring training?
Yeah, you know, David got a great opportunity to go back home. He's from Philadelphia, but right out of college, he got to Manhattan and was writing for the Daily News, then got onto the radio side of the business, and then play-by-play. I'm going to miss him. We were really close. We were the two old guys up in the booth. If he mentioned Robin Roberts, I knew exactly who he was talking about. If I mentioned... you know, Kenny Hubbs or Billy Williams, of course, or Ernie Banks, of course. You know, he knew who I was talking about, Louie Aparicio. So we had a great time together talking about baseball history. We both love the game of baseball and had a fun time working with each other. And I wish him all the best. I hope we beat the heck out of the Yankees every time we see it.
Amen, brother.
That's a way to do it. Rick Riz, longtime voice of the Mariners, one of the legendary broadcasters in the history of the game, good friend of the show. We're so glad to hear that you're okay, Rick. Congrats on another season of broadcasting Major League Baseball. Enjoy this run, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Alan, Braden, thank you very much. Or Brendan, I apologize. It's going to be a lot of fun 2 days away from the home opener against the A's. We should have a packed house. And it's going to be a fun season this year. The Mariners are going to get you back to the playoffs.
There you go. Rick Riz, longtime voice of the Mariners. Had a great conversation.
Interview, Alan. Nice job.
Alan and Braden dominated that interview. I think we hit that one out of the ballpark. We won multiple MVPs like Julio's going to in that interview. Yeah. Alan and Braden. It was funny. We were taping with him yesterday after the show. And he realized that he said Brandon's name wrong. And then after we kind of wrapped it up, he said, "Do you want me to redo that ending?" And we said, "No, dude, we got to keep that in there." It's perfect.
Lord knows how many he does of those constantly all the time.
I love, you can tell an old-timey radio guy by when you get them on the phone and they ask you, "Who am I talking to?"
Yeah, and he asked me, it's like, okay, who am I doing this with again?
Introduce you by name.
Andy will introduce you. Brandon will jump in. Right. All right, Andy and Brandon.
And then it turned into Alan and Braden at the end of the interview. We love Rick Riz, man. He's an all-time legend.
I'm just glad he's okay.
You know what Rick Riz did to us at the end of that interview? He gave.
Oh, man.
He hit us with one of those. He hit us in the head, man. Glad that he's okay. He was able to chuckle about it a little bit.
I'm glad they get the A's to open things up.
They do get the A's.
They need a four-game sweep. They need to come out on fire for Mariner fans this year.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. The Daily Ticker, as always, you know who it's brought to you by? It's brought to you by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. What a day for some Pelicans.
If you're not cracking a Pelican
today. This is the day
of
all days. We're setting heat records today, baby. Go crack open a cold one. Brackets are set. Madness is here. Pelican Brewing, ready for tip-off. Today's Daily Ticker brought to you by the independent, innovative brewers of the Oregon Coast. Let's talk a little opening day. What would it be? Opening day Eve? Is that what we'd be at? How about his Julio MVP comments? A couple thoughts on that. We'll dive into a couple of the football notes in the final hour. Don't forget the mail sack coming up at 8:15. We're back after this on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Spray crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by our good friends at Crunch Fitness. Did you know memberships are as low as $9.99? A month. You can find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, or online at crunch.com. It looks like it's actually going to happen. We'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour. Mail sack at 8:15. Get your questions in to the Fan text line, 503-864-6326. Really fun conversation there with Rick Riz.
Yes, much thanks to Rick and the Mariners for working with our schedule.
It's going to be an interesting year for them, man. He is very high on them and what their offense is going to do. And he looks at the track record at the end of last season and says, hey, this is where it's going to look where they left off. They're going to pick up right where they left off.
Well, if there's anybody that's qualified to teach the art of major league hitting, it's Edgar Martinez. So
I do find, so he claimed Julio, you know, MVP conversation. Interesting year for him this year, man. He just turned 24. He's still an incredibly young player. Nobody doubts his ability and his talent, and despite ups and downs throughout periods of season, he still ends up having good years. He's still a good Major League Baseball player.
Yes.
It's interesting because you look back at the start of his year last year. You mentioned they opened with the A's, so they get
Didn't he hit like two home runs basically before the All-Star break?
He didn't hit his first home run last year until April 23rd. It essentially took him a month to hit his first home run. He only hit three in the entire month of May.
Yeah.
So like going into June, the guy had four home runs on the season going into June. So he has been notoriously a slow starter. I am an avid defender of Julio because I don't think some of the criticism that he has gotten, not from everywhere in the fan base, but he's seen as the face of the franchise, the guy who's supposed to carry the offense.
That's
he's
a lot
the next
when
golden
you're 23.
Child.
Even
dude,
if you've got
lot,
the personality
man.
And you welcome it, it's still
Julio.
A lot.
It is, and he doesn't have any help in the lineup.
And that's what Rick said. If there's some more help, if he's got more base runners on base, if there's constantly dudes in front of him and pitchers can't pitch around him, then he's going to get a lot more you know, cookies to munch on.
Yes, it's going to help you tremendously. Look at, you know, there's a million guys that have come through that have gone to different places. Teoscar Hernandez is a great example of this, of a guy who goes to L.A. and he's in a different lineup. And hey, look at that. Now he can hit the ball again because he's seeing pitches.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you got to go get Mookie Betts and Otani to hit around him in the lineup, but
that would help.
It certainly would help.
It's fun to watch.
Spending money on the offense in the offseason would help a little bit. But that's where, like, I will always defend Julio. I don't know about MVP kind of year. There's a lot of studs in the American League who maybe have better help around them. He has to get off to if he wants to be in any of that stuff, he's got to be off to a better start.
And they win 95, 96, 97 games, then
he will certainly compete for division title, be
in the MVP discussion.
I mean, are the Rangers going to be back to where they were 2 years ago? Because they were a dumpster last year.
Funny group.
The Angels suck. They've always sucked. Yes. The Astros, Bregman's
gone. It's right there. It was right there for him last year. Yeah, there's no juggernaut in that division.
No, it's not a very good division.
The A's are a mess.
And the A's, the A's are absolutely a mess.
Although they actually did spend money in the offseason this year.
They signed their richest contract in franchise history.
Was that Severino?
I believe it was Severino. 88 wins won the division last year.
He's got the opening day start at T-Mobile, too.
I mean, he better. He's the most expensive franchise, free agent in franchise history.
Yeah.
88 wins was the division winner last year. That was the lowest win total of any division winner. Doesn't mean that will be the case again this year. Like, it's up for the grabs, man. So, we'll see. Their season starts on Thursday. They get the A's, who everybody's going to call Oakland. That's going to be such a weird situation this year. Having two teams play in minor league ballparks for this year and maybe the foreseeable future. Not a good look for Major League Baseball. But thanks again to Rick Riz for hopping on. We'll have some more thoughts on opening day, not only tomorrow, but then obviously into Thursday because we'll be on the air and none of the games will be happening. So baseball season is nearly upon us, and I cannot wait. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. Mail sack coming up at 8:15. Get those questions in 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. Crunch Time, as always, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Let's start the final hour with It Might Actually Happen. We'll start there next on The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.